You know, over the past 3 weeks, I've been talking about community and spiritual family and really how important it is that we are together. You find your people, you find your purpose, you find your purpose, you find your destiny. And God has a plan and a purpose for us. Think about this morning. How in the world did all of us, from the different backgrounds, places that we were born, places that we've lived, things that we do, how would all of us get together in this one room together to hear the voice of God together, except that God brought us together? And so I believe that this morning we have a real powerful word from God for our church. And I think it's something to be powerful for each one of you, and all of us. And so first service was excellent and powerful and great. I remember where I was the day I met Sean Morris. I was in a hotel in Los Angeles, and I'd heard about him. In fact, I think I'd heard him speak just briefly, just give a report. And I said, sure would like to meet that guy sometimes. And walking down the hallway of this hotel where we were in conference together, Sean opened the door, and Sean was right there in the door. And I just thought, he is larger than life. And he's tall, he's sanguine, he's outgoing, he's friendly, he's, you know, passionate, he's excited, he's enthusiastic, and just when you get around him, all those things get on you, and you don't even know what you're enthusiastic about. You're just enthusiastic. It's just so awesome. Sean has the ability and a real spiritual gift from God to really just impart that passion for the things of God and to make an impartation. And so I'm so happy that he's here to continue our series talking about community. I'm so happy that we're going to get this morning an impartation from God. And so if you're ready, he's ready. Are you ready? You ready? I want you to welcome Sean Morris from Melbourne, Australia. Sean. There you go, baby.
Good morning, everybody. I said to Pastor Joe just before, I said, we're having fun. You know, it's fun. You know, life's too short, seriously, to allow the enemy to rob us of our joy. Come on, you know. We take so many things too seriously. Never take yourself or anybody else too seriously, only God. And life will be a lot easier. Oh, yep, there we are. Lighten up, lighten up. Yeah, and the journey continues. Yeah, I still remember that very day. it's been amazing. That's over 20 years ago. Joan, what an incredible journey it has been across the nations. And we have ministered together and, you know, holidayed together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. Licked each other's wounds, okay, in the sense of supporting and gathering and encouraging one another and standing with one another. And here we are today. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like we're only just beginning. Really. There is a huge shift happening in the church. There is a huge shift in the body of Christ. God is stirring something. There is the beginning of the emergence of something, I believe, profoundly new and significant. And I'm going to be sharing a little bit around some of that. And there's a real sense that the way we have done things from an evangelical, Pentecostal perspective is changing. It's changing, needs to change, has to change. Because the truth be told, even though we might have had the Pentecostal charismatic renewal and all the excitement that it's brought in the church and the release of the gifts, etc., and another layer of seeing the believer released in their priestly and ministry and anointing, in essence, the construct has remained exactly the same. The construct of church as we know it is no different, really, in its essence, to the construct that it has been for the last 1,800 years. And if that construct, that wineskin, was really the reference to God's intent, we have to ask ourselves the question, then we are in serious trouble. Because if that construct is the essence of what is the carrier of the kingdom in the earth as we know it, then we're a far way from what we read in Scripture. Amen? Something has to change because it's not working. Come on. I mean, it's time for somebody to actually call a spade a spade. You know? It's not working. God has a dream. God has a dream. He expressed his dream and his desire, and it will be fulfilled. He has a dream to see a bride that is without spot and wrinkle. He will fulfill that, not us. We're not there to remove the spot and wrinkles from one another. He'll do that. But we do have a very significant role and part to play in being the carrier of his kingdom. He has a dream to see the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Amen? He has a dream to see that. In fact, he is so committed to that dream that he himself spoke forth the word that he would not even release his son to return to the earth until, Scripture's very clear, until the restoration of all things. And we know that a massive part of the key to that restoration is through the sons of God, through sonship. But the sad thing is the construct that we've tried to bring forth sonship has really been a construct of orphanages. Really, if we think about the construct of the church at large, it's run as an orphanage. Now, an orphanage is a good thing to have when you don't have families. But God's ultimate intent is not for orphanages. It's like the gospel of salvation. You know, we're saving them out of their devastation, putting them in a building where at least they cared for, they fed, they looked after. But God's intent and his actual dream is that he created something called family. God created family. And family was to be and is to be the key in bringing forth the purposes of heaven in the earth. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in our midst. You're in every heart and every life. And I pray that as the word goes forth this morning, that it finds profound entrance into every life. That it hits the mark in such a significant way that there is not one of us that will leave here without a fresh sense of purpose and understanding about the significance of our personal, natural families as well as the family of God. Father, I thank you that you do what only you can do, and that is take one message and yet cause it to impact every single life, wherever they are at, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Title of my message is Dominion and Dynasty. Dominion and Dynasty. And if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, Dominion and Dynasty. And really, it has come out of a revolutionary journey. I mean, it's the journey started a long time ago, but the real essence of this really over the past 5 years, and I'm going to try and capture 5 years of reshaping, fresh revelation, rethinking about how we understand things in the kingdom of God in 20 minutes. Okay? Now that sounds almost impossible, especially if your name is Sean Morris, because I am known to go on rabbit trails, okay? And sometimes when we go on those rabbit trails, we tend to dig a little deep down. We're going deep. But hopefully, Holy Spirit, no rabbit trails. I'm going to try and be brief and amazing, as I said in the first service, because blessed are the short-winded, they'll be invited back. Turn to the person next to you and tell them you are a very blessed Idiokos. Come on, turn to them. I didn't say idiot. I said a very blessed idiotos, or idiotos, or idiotokos, depending on how you pronounce it in the Greek. Let me tell you what it actually means. It doesn't mean you're an idiot. It actually means you are special and unique. Wow. You are a very blessed, special, unique individual, and you represent a family. And that's very important. Hold that thought. Keep it in your heart. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Wow. What an incredible, profound statement. Now, out of that portion of Scripture, most of us are very familiar with verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we could ever ask or think or ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And we read that verse. How many have ever taken that verse and spoken it over your life, confessed it, declared it? How many of you have experienced the fulfillment of it? Nobody. My hand's also down. I mean, beyond what I can imagine? Have I experienced the fulfillment of it beyond what I can dream? And when we look at that verse, there's kind of this hope, but we don't really attach a real conviction to it because we think to ourselves, you know, is it really possible to happen? But when we begin to understand things in the context of this verse, in the context that this verse actually finds itself, we now start to think radically differently. And that is in the context of dynasty. When Paul in verse 14 spoke what he spoke, he's coming out of a deep understanding and a conviction of who we are called to become, both as the church and as families in God. Some translations have in verse 14, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom the whole family. Now, the interesting thing is in the Greek language, it's both whole and every, which to me is very interesting. He's both referring to, I believe, the spiritual family as well as every natural family that's represented. And I said that the title of my message is about dominion and dynasty, God's dream to see his kingdom come. And it's important for us to go right back to the beginning. To understand this, we've got to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 28, in theological circles, it's called the dominion or the cultural mandate. And God blessed them, verse 28, he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. To have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, etc., etc. Exercise dominion in the earth. Two things that is very significant is notice that the dominion mandate was not given to an institution. It was not given to an organization. It was given to a couple that had the mandate in fulfilling that dominion mandate, in fulfilling it, doing it by virtue of growing family, of actually building a dynasty. You see, the real truth of the matter is that God actually gives dominion to dynasties. Dominion and dynasty are inseparable. The enemy knows it. And so long as the church is involved in building its empires, in creating its orphanages, and doesn't get back to the essence of, first of all, undergirding and building families and seeing them served and supported to become the dynasty that God intended them to be, and they themselves as a spiritual dynasty begin to truly be a spiritual family, that we will actually not see the dominion of God coming to the earth as it should be. And the enemy knows that. So he makes sure that our gospel remains individualistic. So it's all about bless me. It's all about me prospering. It's all about me having a breakthrough. It's all about me getting healed. It's all about me getting restored so that I can live in the fullness, so I can live in the fullness of God. It's all about me taking verse 20. And even though it does not say me, it actually says we interpret it as me, And we think that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask and I can imagine. That's not what is written. That is actually a lie. That is actually a deception. That is actually heresy. Yet that is the message that we've promoted. And I believe it has been the strategy of the enemy to keep us out of dynasty building, to keep us out of truly becoming a spiritual family and building natural families to the place of actually growing into dynasties to bring forth the dominion of heaven. Notice this. When did the enemy appear on the scene? When Adam was alone, no devil arrived. Hello? Have you ever thought about it? See, the dominion mandate wasn't given to Adam. It wasn't given to him. There was no devil. Satan didn't arrive when Adam was on his own. The moment Adam and Eve became a couple and received the mandate to bring forth God's rule in the earth through how? Being fruitful. That's a generation of children who grew up to become mature sons and daughters, carrying the essence of the kingdom, who then multiply themselves, and then they multiply to the place where they now begin to fill the earth. And in that place of filling the earth, they establish the rule and authority that is behind them and be able and are in the capacity to actually be, to subdue. And that word subdue in the Hebrew literally does not mean to subject. It means to bring in order. What order? The divine order of God. Wow. I call that the levels of dominion. See, authority is given, but dominion is taken. You can have all the authority you want. You've got all the authority of heaven behind you, but you know why most of us don't actually see the dominion of God manifested in and through our lives? Is because we are so consumed still with exercising that authority from an individualistic, selfish, personal perspective and fail to comprehend that this has actually not got to do with me as an individual, but it's got to do with my family line. It's got to do with who I represent, because actually the fact I might be the only one in my family that has now come to Christ, I am not the only one. I am the first one. God has actually called my family by name. Oh, Rabbas, come on. Why do you think there's so much warfare? You see, the enemy knows that so long as we, as the church, stay out of dynasty building, stay out of actually building true spiritual family and restoring natural families and undergirding them and empowering them to discover their identity and their mandate and their mission, so long as we stay out of that space, he can control that space, because he knows dominion is attached to dynasty. Do you know right now in the world today, in our so-called Western democracies, that it is not the democratic process that actually governs our world? Dynasties govern our world. Political dynasties, financial dynasties, banking dynasties, industry dynasties, media dynasties. Hello? They control exactly what they want people to vote for. It's a farce. It's a farce. Democracy is not biblical. Now I'm really, really shooting a holy cow. Democracy is the best attempt that human beings can come up with to ensure there is not an overreach of power. But do you know what democracy really is in its essence? It's the dictatorship of the majority. Woo, that's a whole nother subject. I love teaching on the whole understanding of the separation of church and state and God and government. Church and state, yes, but not God and government. You see, theocracy is the essence of true government. Amen? But that's a whole other subject. Dynasty. So the enemy knows. If you and I are consumed with just merely our own personal world, and we as churches are consumed with our own little personal identity and vision and mission, I mean, as if we should be. Hello. The only reason why you are that way is because you're insecure. The only reason why you're consumed with your own branding and identity and name is because you have not yet discovered who you really are as a son and daughter of God, and that you are seated at the very right hand of the Father, and you have an identity and an obscurity and a place and a position that you need no branding for. What can God entrust a people who are not at all interested in their own name, their own reputation, have no issue of insignificance that they've got to somehow find some worldly significance, but they are truly, absolutely dead to themselves and alive to the mandate of heaven? What can God entrust such a people with? What can God entrust such a family with? What dynasty would be brought forth? Wow. Are you with me this morning? So when does the enemy appear on the scene? Isn't that profound that the devil appeared only once they were established as a family? Because he knows that family, that dynasty is the greatest threat. So he'll allow the churches, preach all the individualistic gospel you want to, the bless me clubs, the holy huddles. Go for it, guys. You know what? I'll actually take a step back. I'll let you guys think that, you know, oh, well, life is wonderful. Just stay out of my space. But you get into that space. It's something profound. Why do you think the enemy is after? The enemy's not after destroying families because it's the cornerstone of society. That's the byproduct. Yes, it is the cornerstone. Yes, it is the essence of stability. But the real thing is he wants to make sure that dynasties in the context of the kingdom are not built, are not raised up. That's the real issue. That's the real issue. But I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family, say every family. Say, that means my family. As I said, you might be the first. Sorry, you might be the only one. I want you to rephrase that. You're not the only one, you're the first. Your family history might be a history of destruction, dysfunctionality, all the rest. The fact that you have received Christ, the fact that you have been called, is that God has actually said, I have a name, and in that name, you've got to understand the significance. Come on. So you are not the only one, you're the first. And the significance of that. Where can your family be as a dynasty in God 100 years from now? Come on. I would like to suggest that I think Jesus is going to take even a little longer than 100 years. We've got a long way to go before the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. We've still got a ways to go before the restoration of all things. Amen? Or do we just tear those pieces out of the Bible and say, well, they don't fit our eschatology? You know, I had somebody literally send me yesterday a time clock that's gone out from some well-known crazy fluke freak preacher that Jesus is returning in 20 days' time. I said, hallelujah, if he returns in 20 days' time, he'll find me doing the work. But to be honest with you, it's that sort of absolute nonsense that makes us look like stupid fools consumed with ourselves and our own little neediness. Come on. Amen? Yeah. That the world looks at and says, what a bunch of cuckoos. And they get on with the enemy's inspiration of building dynasties. Hello? How much longer are we going to sit around and let that happen? You see, dominion is attached to dynasty. Authority has been given. We've had the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are we not at the forefront? How are we actually going to take? How are the kingdoms of this world going to become the kingdom of our God? Do you think God's going to just click his finger and some supernatural transfer? I mean, I listen to this rubbish about supernatural transfer of wealth and all the rest. Come on, give me a break. Most people in church cannot even handle and manage and steward $1,000, and you think God's going to suddenly click his finger and give them $10 million to look after? It's pathetic. I mean, come on, give me a break. They can't even exercise dominion over their own personal budget, and then they want to be entrusted with millions of dollars for the purpose of the kingdom? I mean, who are we fooling? Can I be that blunt this morning? I'm with family. We can be as blunt as we want to be this morning. But let's turn that the other way and say, if we can begin to understand and become intentional and realize that God has actually, I mean, I was the first one in our family to give my life to Christ. Now the whole family, grandparents, God literally reached back. I had the privilege of leading my grandparents to Christ and baptizing them. The restoration, and here's the sad thing, is our family actually used to be, historically, a dynasty. Huge wealth owners. And in a religious context, actually funded and built churches and employed ministers. But through a mindset of selfishness, compromise, and the devising division of inheritance for the sake of feeding the individual. It's actually not biblical. It's not biblical to divide inheritances. It's another whole subject. Is we saw the enemy wreak havoc and bring poverty into our family. Just 200 years ago, we owned thousands of acres of vineyards and wine farms and lands. And under my dad's life, due to that debt to family members and inheritances that have to be paid out, he had to sell the last portion. And then we had a small family business, and he was about to sell it. And this message 5 years ago so gripped me. And he had a buyer and everything. And I phoned him up and I said, I'm coming. We are coming. It was April 5 years ago. I flew from Australia to South Africa. I sat down with my father and I said, you're not selling the business. He said, yeah, I'm going to sell. I've got a buyer. We've covered the $500,000 debt that's there, and we'll divide the rest up amongst your three boys, and there's your inheritance. I said, and? And then I shared with them what God began to show me about dynasty and about our family name. And I said to him the history. And I said, Dad, what has happened to the Morris clan? What has happened to that wealth? What has happened that because of the lie of the enemy, here we sit and we're about to get rid of the very last thing. And I said, it's stopping right here. It's changing. God called this family by name. And because we have a name in him, we have an identity in him, therefore we have a mandate and we have a mission. And I said, just for your information, I've spoken to my two brothers. The three of us have agreed we are forfeiting our inheritance from a Western mindset. We wanted to keep it together, and we want you to give us the business. He was not happy. He did not embrace it with joy. Because I think he was thinking, you know what, I'm 70 years of age, or 71, 72. I've worked hard enough, and it's now my time to just sit back and relax. Well, got news for you, mate. There ain't retirement in the kingdom. He said, I'll think about it. Then I prayed. That night, he had a profound encounter with God. That next morning, he called us three boys together, and he said, Sean shared with me this, and he said, I know what I have to do. I am releasing the business right now. He phoned the lawyers right there and then, and within a day, we had meetings with the lawyers, transferred the company, transferred everything over to us three sons. We restructured, reestablished. Here's the miracle. Now, Ephesians 3:20 kicks in. Now, Ephesians 3:20 kicks in. Here's the miracle. In 5 years, not only have we cleared that $500,000 debt, not only within the context of the South African failing economy, we have grown by just over 1,000% in 5 years. Wow! You cannot make stuff up. You like that. You cannot, you can use every trick in the book. You cannot create that without divine favor. It has been an incredible ride. We went from 9 employees to 55 families now receiving employment, served, loved. And we've developed a whole system around understanding it from a kingdom perspective, where the employees are profit sharers and really, in a sense, they're part owners in the business. And it's just growing. And we look at that and we say, wow, after 5 years, where can this be 50 years from now? We've got all three, my brothers, we've all got teenage kids. We literally, as families, when we get together on holiday, our last big holiday together, we were talking around with the kids about and dreaming what you can ask a dream, what you can ask. We, dreaming as a family, what can happen to this business, where it can go. And it's so exciting to see the kids, 12, 13, 14 years of age, beginning to dream about how they're going to be a part of this thing. Your family is called to be a dynasty. Your family is called to bring forth the dominion of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, say we. Say we. Not me. We can ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but this changes everything. It's changed everything for us as a family, our priorities, our investment, our time, energy, talents. It has restructured our world. My brothers and I, we used to all make sure that we had our fancy little holidays wherever we could all around the world. Now we find at least once a year, we will sacrifice those holidays to come together as a family, generationally, and say, this is priority. Because now you begin to sacrifice knowing that you're part of a bigger world. What we have seen even happen in the new work, we've just planted a new church in the last 12 months in Melbourne, out of this whole revelation of becoming true spiritual family and actually building dynasties. We have seen the most incredible thing happen. We have seen prodigals starting to come home. Here's the thing, is you see, when you create family, God says he will put the orphans in family. No family, no orphans come home. If the father's heart is not longing for the children, the prodigals do not return. The older brother might still not be ready, but so long as the father has an understanding and realizes, the prodigals will come home. The most beautiful thing that just happened just in the last little weeks is one particular couple, one particular family. I mean, they've been separated for a while. It's been absolute devastation. Their marriage counselor said to them, you know what? It's best for you guys to get divorced. The husband, somebody brought him along to one of the services. Think about months, maybe 6-8 weeks ago. This is how quick it happened. And Trudy preached on the house of names. And the biblical, all the names of the Father, all the names of God, that's the house that we are now, the spiritual dynasty we have now been rooted, embedded into, transplanted into. And then the house of names regarding names of your own family. Go and research and look up what its meaning is and the significance of that biblically. He sat there. I tell you, this man was so impacted, the tears began to run down. And then she spoke about the significance of dynasty and why there's war over marriages, why there's war over families. Because it's not in the first place just merely because it's the building block of society, but because the enemy knows it's the actual key to God's dominion in the earth. And while the enemy can stop the church building dynastically, he can stop the dominion of heaven. And he sat there, and it just hit him like a ton of bricks. Last Sunday, they were sitting as a couple in the service. And he said, 2 years, his words to me, 2 years of marriage counseling, 2 years of psychological help, professional help, prayer, even deliverance did not bring the breakthrough. The revelation of dynasty and the changing of the impact of that in changing the heart brought that. And here's the most miracle. Their one daughter was estranged. She was sitting there with them on Sunday. You see, when the hearts of the fathers are turned to the children to the fathers, he removes the curse. Let me say this in closing. the more we get the hearts connected, the less warfare we have to do in removing the curse. The curse is actually automatically removed. So I tell people, stop praying and start loving. I don't mean stop praying in the sense that you don't pray. But I mean stop putting your focus on prayer as if prayer is going to be the key. The core of Ephesians, this portion of scripture, from verse 14 to verse 21, the core of it is verse 17 and 18. And it's all about love. You see, building family is messy. Come on. But it's that messiness that changes and transforms our lives more than anything else. Building true spiritual family is messy. But it's what changes us more than anything else. The power of the kingdom is love, is the power of love. And it never fails. It never fails. It never fails. And so as you're sitting here this morning, I want to encourage you. God's dream is to see his kingdom come in the earth. God's purpose is to do it through your family. God's desire and design is to express his goodness and grace over you as a family, that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or even imagine. And it's all for verse 21. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And then notice what he says, to all generations. Wow. To all generations. I was on the phone with my brother day before yesterday. I just arrived here in the States. And I was saying to him, wow, Carl, what a mind-blowing 5 years. And he started laughing. And he said, I know, isn't it crazy? And he said, what we've been able to do, funding the kingdom, bringing transformation in two particular communities through that business, through those businesses. And he said, Sean, can you just think about it? It's only 5 years. 5 years. What is it going to look like 10 years from now? What's it going to look like 25 years from now? And then I said to him, Carl, if Jesus tarries, what will it look like 400 years from now? Wow. You're the beginning. You're the start. Let's build dynasty. Let's see the dominion of heaven exercised on earth so that his kingdom come and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Sean. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about that. Put that in your heart for what your family could be. I know, you know, I love it when you said, you know, you're not the only one. You're the first one in your family, right? You're not the only, but you're the first. I was the first born again in my family. And now my mother, my dad, my two sisters, their husbands, their kids, and their children's children are now born again. How does that happen? Except God worked through families. You may be feel like you're the only person in your family, but you're not. You're a pioneer to be the first in your family, okay? And so I want us all to stand together. If you're sitting there today thinking, you know, wow, that all sounds good, but man, I mean, you should see the devastation around me. You know, the devil has a dynasty too, a dynasty of brokenness, a dynasty of perversion, a dynasty of bankruptcy, a dynasty of divorce, a dynasty of orphan, a dynasty of abuse, anger, violence. The devil has a dynasty too. But today, you can step across the line, draw it, and say, we're not going to live for his dynasty. I'm going to start a new one with my family. I'm going to stand a new one with my family. I think of Matthew Rowland. Matthew's mother was married 5 times. He was underneath 4 or 5 different fathers that he barely knew. One of them really became a father to him. But he decided to draw a line, he and his wife, and they're going to start a dynasty. And he put his money where his mouth was and got 10 kids. And their kids are going to have a different upbringing than he had. Why? Because he drew the line and said no more. And, you know, we live in a world, you know, where you have to have results in like 10 days. We got to start thinking 25 years ahead and 50 years ahead and 100 years ahead. And where do I want to be 5 years from now, you know? And so we get that mindset, you know, that we have time to build this right, to build this right. And I think of those of you here in the house, you know, who have big families, you know, and, you know, you've already begun to taste what is it like, what could it be like, you know, if our kids carried the dream that God put in our hearts to the next generation, what could that be like? I was thinking of my own family this morning. In my immediate family, me, my dad, my mom, and my two sisters, there's five of us in my immediate Sir family. In that immediate Sir family, I have seven registered nurses. Think about that. Three teachers, a preacher, two protectors. I mean, we're caregivers. We're going to protect you, teach you, and nurse you. But we're going to put your butt back out there on the field. You got to play, right? So that's who my family, that's a calling on my family's life. One of the expressions of that is the church. But God has something great in store for your family too, a calling from your family. If you begin to look at what you came from and who you came from, you begin to see what his design was. And what's the purpose? That the earth would be filled with the glory of God, like the knowledge covers, like the waters cover the sea. If you're here today and you're a pioneer in your family, you feel like you're the only one, I want you to step out of your seat and come right here and pray for you. You're the only one in your family that's a Christian, maybe. You're the only one in your family spirit-filled. You're the only one in your family that's been born again. You're the only one in your family who's escaped the brokenness and you want to see the rest of your family come to Christ. Then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. It's a good thing to be a pioneer because you've got something that the rest of your family didn't have. You got a knowledge, you got a revelation, you got an understanding, you got something the rest of your family didn't have. And rather than look at them with despair, start looking at them with hope. God's going to do something in their life. Why? Because he brought me into their life. And I am born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and moving forward in the things of God. Move forward, move forward. All of you move forward. I'll pray for you now. Come on, come on. This is awesome. You guys are going to change the trajectory of your whole life, your whole family. Think about it. What's going to be the fruit of the decision you made today 100 years from now? What's going to be the fruit of that? What are your great-great-grandchildren going to look like? What are they going to be doing? Because you stepped across the line and said, I'm going for God with all my heart, and I'm going to be a pioneer in my family to see them come. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Each person standing here today, Lord, change the trajectory of their family and their life. In Jesus' name, Lord, pour out your spirit upon them. Lord, let there be a resolve. Let there be a resolve in their hearts, Lord, to serve you and to walk with you and to know you, Lord. Father, let the power of God begin to fall upon them. Lord, as they set their heart to see a dynasty come about. Let me tell you something. The dynasty that the devil had for you and your family was destruction. But let me tell you something. God is redeeming some things. He's doing some things in your heart and in your life. And your kids are going to grow up different than you grew up. And their kids are going to grow up different than them. And they're going to see in two generations to come, you're going to see a godly heritage, a put together family, a move of God in your family for revival. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for LaFay, Lord. I thank you, God, that she's not standing here by accident. Lord, that you brought her to this place, this time, Lord, to do something in her heart, Lord, that would change the course of her family. I thank you, God, you've given her three young men to disciple. That's just the first three. There's more coming. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, they're going to be world changers. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Changing the trajectory of your family, changing the trajectory of your life, changing it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving me such a fine son-in-law. He's become a son, Lord. I just bless him. Lord, I pray, Father, the calling of God on his life would become so sure and so strong, Lord, that it'd be undeniable to everyone who sees it. Lord, I pray, Father, that your spirit would just infiltrate every cell of his body. God, he dreams at night, see visions during the day, Lord, and Father, he would raise him up to be a voice, not just in his natural family, but in the family in this house, the family of God. Just bless him in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. The trajectory of your life is changing. Your family, your heirs. They're going to look, in years to come, they're going to look back at their ancestor and see a man who's sold out for God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The devil has a plan to devastate you through rejection and just the power that's broken now in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, man of God, change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. A whole change in your mindset, Larry. It's a new day for you. You're going to begin to see how God crafted you, made you, and called you for success. And your heirs to 1,000 generations are going to love God and share the glory of God with everyone they meet. Father, thank you, Lord. Change the trajectory of each of these lives. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a new day. I'm just telling you, the families that you grew up in, it's a different day. It's a different day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get right over here. Just right over here. I want to just say something to you, just from the Spirit of God. I'm just telling you, you got a heart. You're a seeker of God, a lover of God. You got a heart after God. You are not here by accident. God brought you in this place, brought you to this moment, brought you to this time to let you know the depth, the breadth, the width, and the height of the love that he has for you. That God intends to use you in a powerful way, not just in your family, but I just see a real call of God on your life to be a voice and to be the hands and the heart of God for hurting young women, for hurting families. I just see God's hand on you in a really powerful way. You really are a pioneer in so many ways. And you know, the devil has told you, that if you keep going for God, that your family's going to hate you. But I'm just telling you, it's the other way around. God's going to use you and your family's life to bring them to Christ, to bring them to God. And I'm just telling you, God has a plan and a purpose for your life that is beyond anything you've ever asked, thought, or hoped for. And you're going to see your family come to Christ. You're going to see your family come to the feet of Jesus and worship him and to love him. And you're going to see a move of God in your generation in a powerful way. Don't be dismayed. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you're going to see him not only protect you and watch over you, but use you as a powerful instrument for his purpose in the earth. In Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome day. Sean, thanks. Glad you were here. Elijah Lowe over here, thank you for visiting, being with us today. He just moved to Highland Park and just found a new church this morning. And so, okay, give somebody a high five. Give them a hug. Tell them you love them. Tell them it's a new day. It's a new day. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.